Grace and peace to you this morning, church. It is good to see you here on what was a nice, chilly November morning, but now it's heating up and it's not so nice anymore. As we get ready to jump into God's Word in the sermon this morning, have you ever gone on a vacation somewhere that was just like, man, that was the best spot ever? Like, when you think about it, it was great. Or ever had a food that, not that you're continually thinking about it, but there's that one food that you've had that you're just like, oh my gosh, this was like, whenever I think about this place and this food, it was the best ever. This week, I was meeting with Gabe Romero, and we were talking, and then we got kind of sidetracked, but for fun, talking about golf, because we both like to golf. And I was telling him how my daughter, where she works, she can get me a discount to go on a really nice golf course, but it'd still be kind of expensive. And he's like, bro, if you can get on that golf course. It doesn't matter what it costs. He's like, that is one of the best golf courses I have ever played. And then he just starts reminiscing about it. He's like, number one was this place here. Number two is that course. And there's this spot where you just come around a corner on this hole and the view is amazing. And like, he can visualize it and he can see it all. He's telling me this. And I'm like, I've got to spend money. But I was excited for it because he was remembering this golf course. He's like, oh, it's amazing. If you can get on there, you should do it because it's just beautiful and pristine, but the views you see are amazing. So what is something that, some place you've been or a food that you've had that was just out of this world that you can't forget? For me, and I want you to think about that, I want to hear your answers. I can remember when my wife and I got married 28 years ago. Is it 28? Yeah, 28 years ago, part of our honeymoon, we went up to Cambria, and we went to this little place called Cambria Pines Lodge, and it was just cool, this little rustic thing, and I remember they had like an indoor pool and indoor jacuzzi, and it smelled terrible, like bleach in there, but that's okay. But we went to the restaurant there, and they had prime rib, and so I ordered the prime rib, because it's prime rib, right? And so it was amazing. It was so good. I basically like took my butter knife and just set it on top of the prime rib, and it just seemed to melt right through it to cut it. I didn't have to do anything. It was fantastic. And I can remember it. I can just remember that prime rib. 28 years ago, I still remember it. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind going back and having that prime rib again. I'd just like to take a helicopter because I don't want to drive. That's a long way. But I can remember that food so well. What is a food that you've had, whether at home or something, two or three people that you're just like, oh, it's amazing? Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So it's not that you think about it every day, but when you think about it, it's like, oh, that's a great food. Spinach and mushroom crepe at Crystal Cove. Address 16472 Pacific. I'm kidding. I don't know the address. If I did, it would be scary. So what else? What's another food? Debbie. Chicken curry by Terry. Yeah, I don't remember having chicken curry from her, but it's amazing, apparently. If I had it, I would remember. But yeah, it's a food that you're just like, oh, I can't wait to have it again. Good, one more. What's one more? Rebecca.
It was king crab legs in Alaska at Salmon Bay.
Ooh, king crab legs in Alaska. You know, you could probably get those down here too, but yeah. So yeah, there's just these foods that we have that you're like, I'm not fantasizing about that every day, but yeah, that was just good. I'd love to have it back. What about a vacation spot? Where's somewhere you vacation that you're like, that was the best. I want to go back there.
Yosemite.
Why Yosemite?
Just the awness coming through the tunnel.
Yeah. What time of the year?
Summer.
Okay, summer. Good. We had people camp there at Thanksgiving a few years ago, and they got snowed out, which would probably be amazing. But what else?
Germany.
What part of Germany? Which one? Oh, okay. Beautiful, right? Lots of forests and trees. We were just there. I love Germany. Kathy.
Oberammergau.
To see the Passion Play. Nice. I love. If I moved anywhere, I would move to Oberammergau. It's amazing.
It is truly amazing, and the Sabbath. I mean, the Passion Play. The entire town.
Yeah.
Takes part in it. It's truly amazing.
Yeah, there's so much to it, and we can. I won't tell you more stories about it, but it is the what they do and why they do it and the whole story behind it. But Oberammergau is beautiful. I'm currently learning German so I can retire there because it's fantastic. So we have all these places, we have these foods, and remembering those things is good. But we have Yelp and we have TripAdvisor to remember a lot of these things where people have gone to tell us where to go. And we're not talking about food and reflecting on food and remembering food and vacations. What we want to talk about today is the Sabbath, and specifically in the Sabbath, stopping to remember and reflect on who God is and His greatness and His bigness and His grace and His glory and His provision and His strength and all that He does. And not just reflecting and remembering on that, but meditating on those things and letting them permeate into our souls and grow us. And we live in this culture that is, at least for Western culture, American society, it is hustle and bustle. It is go, go, go. It's great that you finished one thing, but there are 15 more things that are waiting to be finished right now. And we don't have time to stop and enjoy because there's more to do now. There's more to accomplish. There's more to get done. And so it's exhausting sometimes. And sometimes it's just too busy. Enter the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant for us to rest, and not just rest. Pastor Brandon spoke about that a couple weeks ago. It's meant to stop and rest, but it's also meant for us to reflect. To reflect on who God is and meditate on Him and His Word. And we should be doing that every day, but especially on a Sabbath day. To put things aside and just to chew on the greatness of who God is and meditating on Him. Martin Luther says this about meditation. I'll put it up on the screen. There is, however, a difference between meditating and thinking. To meditate means to think persistently, deeply, and diligently. Properly speaking, it means to chew over something in the heart. That's what meditating is. That's what we're supposed to be doing with about who God is and His Word. And are we doing that? Are we spending the time for that? And especially as we talk about a Sabbath and not making Sabbath a mandate, and people of Israel created all these rules about the Sabbath, and I'm not trying to do that. I want to encourage you to take a Sabbath time, and these are some guidelines of what should we do if we take a Sabbath. We should rest. We should stop. But we should also reflect on and chew on the things of God during that time. Let's put aside the distractions and just to sit with Him. So I'm grateful you're here today. Those are what we're going to be talking about, this idea of resting and reflecting on God and meditating on Him. And kind of our bottom line for today, and I'd say this, only when we think deeply about God will our thirst be satisfied. Only when we think deeply, when we sit and chew on that in the heart, will our thirst truly be satisfied. Until then, we're kind of always waiting and wanting and looking for more. So I invite you, we're going to read from Psalm 77. I invite you, if you can, to stand with me as we read from God's Word this morning. I'm going to say a prayer, then we're going to read part of the passage, and then I'll have you sit back down. But let's pray before we begin reading God's Word. Lord, I thank You for this time. I thank You for the invitation to come and to dine with You and to sit with You, to rest in You. Not just on a Sabbath, but in all things through faith in Christ, You invite us to be a part of Your family. Lord, You've also set up the Sabbath as a day of rest for us today to contemplate and ponder just the greatness of who You are and who You've been in our life and are continuing to be. Lord, may we chase after that. I know there's so many things to get done. Help us to see the value in putting those things to the side for a moment to reflect solely on You. To be nourished by You. So God, lead us in this morning. Challenge us and encourage us. Take us to the place where You want us to be as we sit in Your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you sit, this is God's word for this morning. Psalm 77, starting with verse 1. To the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God, and He will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan, and when I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago, and I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. And then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever? and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Man, crazy words. You can have a seat, church. And I know you're probably like, Pastor, why are you stopping there? And why did you read that passage? I don't remember reading anything about the Sabbath in there. And that passage, if we're going to be honest, is a little bit bleak. There's not a lot of hope. There's a lot of despair in there. And I would tell you, you're right, if that's what you heard, and that's what you're thinking. The author of this, Asaph, he's anxious. He's despairing. He's fearful. And he's anxious. Like he sees what's going on. And you see in those last four verses, just his cry, God, where are you? God, where's your faithfulness? God, where are your promises? I'm troubled. My spirit is overwhelmed. I'm crushed. I'm parched. Have you forgotten us? Have you forgotten me? Have you, in your anger, have you shut off the faucet of grace that so much poured over me? He's despairing, and maybe you felt that way before. Maybe you feel that way right now. And I want to let you know that's okay. Asaph is here. That's where he's at. He's overwhelmed, and throughout the pages of the Bible, you find people that are getting overwhelmed by life and life circumstances, and they're desperately trying to make sense of it all and find some rest and some respite in the process of it all. And as we read through our Bibles, even in this passage, twice I didn't read the word, but you read this word Selah in the right column of that, after verse 3 and after verse 9. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his compassion? Selah. And what does Selah mean? And we're not necessarily sure. All the Bible scholars, it's a word that's not really used. And so they're not really sure what to do with it. But what they've come up with is Selah is kind of this. It's a deep breath. It's an exhale. It's a momentary pause. And that deep breath can be anything. It could be good, it can be bad. Kind of in our context, it's not a good thing right now. God, have you shut off the faucet of compassion and grace? Some of you have felt that way before, and that's in the context, it's a good thing. It's kind of this, God, I'm at the end of the line. I've run out of track, but the train is still going. I don't know what's going to happen next. So sometimes it's that like desperation. Sometimes it's just being amazed at God. Wow, God, you are truly amazing. What you've done is amazing. God, look at that sunset. Selah. Sometimes it's one of those breaths like, I can't believe we made it through this. And that's what most parents feel at the end of Christmas Day. Wow, we made it through. What a great thing. It's a deep breath. And that Selah is kind of this like, pause and think about what was just said. Think about where you're at. Think about where God is. Take a moment and breathe. God, have you shut off your compassion? Have you shut off your grace? The Sabbath is a lot like a Selah. It's a stop. Wait a minute. And everything that's going on, let me just sit with God. See what's happening. And that's exactly what Asaph does. I'm glad our story doesn't end there and Asaph doesn't end there. Continues in verse 10. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old, and I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy, and what God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. And when the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water and the skies gave forth thunder and your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world and the earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, and your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen, and you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Asaph, in his tumultuous times, in his desperation, in his despair, instead of letting his circumstances determine who God is and define who God is, he said, wait a minute, I'm going to remember who God is. I'm going to remember what God has done, and I'm going to let the memory of who God has been in the past define who God is in the present. Amen? And so he goes back to the story of the Israelites escaping slavery in Egypt. God, we didn't know what to do, but we came to the Red Sea. You parted the Red Sea. The waters of the Red Sea trembled at your presence and your strength. They moved out of the way for you. You, God, you did a mighty work there. And if you could do a mighty work there, you can probably do a mighty work here. But what did Asaph do in his troubles? He remembered and he reflected on the power of who God has been and who God will be and who God is. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is this idea of reflection and meditation. And so the first thing I want you to see as we talk about this, reflection is remembering. When we reflect about things, we're remembering certain things. If you remember a few years ago, there was a trend that took over households, scrapbooking. And some of you are like, what do you mean it was? It still is a trend. Uh-huh, it is. But you could buy special pages that wouldn't fade or damage your pictures. There's special stamps to cut the corners of your pictures, or there's wavy scissors to cut designs and all these different things. And it was scrapbooking, and it's awesome, and it's really cool. And it's time-consuming, and there's a lot of stuff you had to store. But it's great. And I know my wife did that for a while, too. And she put together some incredible baby books for our kids. And it's fun to go back and look at those, right? And go, oh, yeah. And not only do we have the pictures of them, but their weights and heights and lengths and first words and first steps and all these memories of when they were kids and how they were growing up. And so it's nice to go back and remember those days. Not that today's days are bad with our kids. They're great. Those days were just different. Remember them being a little baby. I don't want to go back to that anymore because I don't want to change diapers and have to feed them. I love that my kids can feed themselves and go to the bathroom themselves. But it was fun. It's fun to reflect on that. Likewise, when my wife and I got married, like you guys, we hired a photographer. And they took tons of pictures. And how laborious it was after the ceremony. We just want to get to the reception and eat. Like, no, we got to get all the family and take pictures. And so we get all these pictures and we put together this wedding album. And let's be honest, how many of you are looking at your wedding album if you've been married? Right, don't answer that question out loud. But we have it, in case we want to remember, in case we forgot we got married. We've got a book to tell us we did it. And then there's the kicker of all kickers, high school yearbooks. Oh, the memories. Have an awesome summer. Science class was rad. You know, blah, blah, blah. I hope I have you in class next year. Not really, but we can't say that. And we say all these things. And who looks at their high school yearbooks anymore? Some of you do. Some of you are like, why do I still have this? But I can't throw it away. Because it's a memory. It helps me remember. Like, because you forgot that you went to high school? No! But we have these things. We have these pictures. We have these snapshots so that we can remember the good times and the journeys that we've taken in life. And they're good. And as sarcastically as I make fun of those things, it's good to have pictures. And it's good to have yearbooks. And it's good to have scrapbooks and all these things. Because they help us remember. Remembering God and who He is has got to be a crucial part of our Christian life. It's not just a thing for the Sabbath, although it should be enhanced on the Sabbath. It should be a part of every day of life. But are we stopping to remember the things that God has done? The actions that He's taken? The power that He's shown? And the reason we're talking about Sabbath and all these things and remembering God is we're moving in, we're like waist deep into our holiday season now. We've made it through Halloween and all those things, and you're still snacking on the candy that's left over. But a couple weeks away is Thanksgiving. And after that is Christmas and New Year's and all these things. And life is busy. And we're already trying to get on Amazon now so we don't have to go to the malls. And things are just moving and moving and moving and going and going and going. And it's hustle and bustle. And some of it I love. I love walking into stores right now, and you're walking by, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, the cinnamon-scented pine cones are out. It's like my favorite smell in the world. I love cinnamon. And so when those come out, it's just like, I'm just going to stand right here and think about my grocery list. I buy like 2 or 3 bags every year and just throw them in the back of my Jeep. So when I get in my car, it's just like, cinnamon. It's amazing. It's so fantastic. That's why none of you want to ride with me. But I love all the smells. I love the food. I love the presents. I love all these things. But they take up so much time that I don't even have time to make God a second thought. during the holidays. And if we're being honest, there are times that we don't even make God a first thought. Pastor, there's so much going on. How can I possibly add God to my life right now? Well, we don't add God to our life. God should be first, but that's another sermon for another time. But we'll get to that. But remembering and reflecting on who God is and what he's done is a crucial part of our Christian journey and growing in him. If we're not remembering, how are we going to trust and how are we going to grow? Israel, as the psalm talks about, you rescued us through the Red Sea and you parted it and we were able to go through. For 40 years after that, Israel wandered in the wilderness. Not fun. And God did a lot of great things and some hard things during those times. But after 40 years, they're about to enter into the promised land. They're about to enter into the place that God said, this is where I'm going to take you. And as they're getting ready to do that, Moses, the man of God, who's called a friend of God in the Bible, I think that's my favorite thing that's said about somebody. He's done some stuff, but he called on water from the rock and didn't give God glory. And God's like, Moses, I love you. You do not get to go into the promised land. You will take the people up to it. I will show you it. But because of that, you do not get to enter into it. And so Joshua is going to be the one that takes Israel in. And as they're getting to that place to go into the promised land, Moses passes away. And Joshua, God puts Joshua into leadership. And what like a man, my heart would be racing. Like, Joshua, it's your turn to lead the people. Like, I've seen what they've done for 40 years. Like, I don't want to do that job, God. Like, no, you lead the people into the promised land. But Moses was so great. How am I ever going to fill in his shoes? Joshua, you lead the people. And as God is giving Joshua instructions, this is what he says in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers and to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law, that Moses my servant may have good success where you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Joshua, you are to lead the people into the promised land. But in order to be the leader that I need you to be, I need you to remember who I am, and I need you to remember and sit on my words. You all will be prosperous if you remember my words and do them. Also in Deuteronomy, because I read the wrong passage for you, Jerry, you might put that up, but it's coming up later. In Deuteronomy, Moses is talking, and Moses gives this reminder to Joshua. He says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations and ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. And I love, as they're getting ready to go into that promised land, there's two charges that Moses gives to Joshua and to the people. Remember the days of old. Do you remember what God has done? Remember the days of old. And if you can't remember, second charge, go ask the generation above you. Church, we're supposed to remember the things that God has done, not just to build up our faith, but to share our stories to build up the faith of the next generation. Amen? But if we're not remembering, if we're not taking time to think about God and who he is and what he's done, how are we going to pass that on? The Sabbath is a time for us to sit in God's presence and to be with him, to put aside all distractions and just be in his presence, to put aside the deadlines and be with him. I love the Indiana Jones movies. Well, I love two of them, right? The other ones are all junk, but the last Crusade was probably the best. And if you remember Indiana and the Last Crusade, he and his dad are looking for the Holy Grail, and they find it. And spoiler alert, you're 35 years too late to know about that, but it's okay. They find the Holy Grail, but catastrophe strikes, and the ground breaks open and splits open, and there's this girl named Elsa, and she's trying to grab the cup, and she falls down this crevasse, and Indy's holding onto her hands. And she lets go of one. She's trying to reach the cup. And he's like, Elsa, you're slipping. Give me your other hand. I can't hold on to you. And she's like, I can reach the cup. I can reach the cup. And he's like, I'm going to lose you. Give me your other hand. She's like, no, I've got it. And then, Elsa dies because she it's a great scene. I know. Well, she deserved it anyway. But then, Watch the movie, you'll see. So anyway, I'm a terrible person. And so then another earthquake happens, and all of a sudden Indy, who is laying on the ground holding her, slides, and he falls into the crevasse. But his dad slides down and grabs his hands, and he's holding on to him. And Indy's holding on to his dad, and he's like, there's the grail. Like, Indy, like, Elsa just died. But he's like, I can reach it. And his dad is like, Junior, give me your hand. I can't hold on to you. He's like, Dad, I've almost got it. And remember, he hated his dad calling him Junior because earlier in the movie, he's like, my name is Indiana. It's not Junior. And he's like, I can get it. He's like, Junior, give me your hand. He's like, no. And then his dad just goes, Indiana. Indiana. And he looks at him. And his dad's like, let it go. It's not about the grail. The Sabbath is God's way of saying, I've got all these deadlines, I've got these work projects, I've got this, I have to get all these things done. And God is holding her hand saying, Brian, let it go. Work 6 days and work hard. But on the seventh day, this is you and me. I just want to sit with you. Let's reflect on all the things that we've done. The Sabbath is God's way of holding our hands. It's his way of reminding us, let go of the burdens. Let go of the deadlines. They're all going to be there on Monday or whatever day you choose to do a Sabbath. Everything, all the problems of the world are still going to be there the next day. But the Sabbath is for you to reflect and remember the greatness of who God is. How desperate we need that time. Just for healing of our souls, but for strength to carry on for the next day. Second point is this. We talked about reflection is remembering. The second point I want to talk about is meditation. And I want you to see that meditation satisfies the soul. And Jeremy read part of this verse earlier, and we'll continue with it. Psalm 63 says, my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. And in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. And I really love Psalm 63. I'm in the process of trying to memorize it so I can meditate on it and think about it more throughout the day. But I love how David is writing this and what he says. My soul will be satisfied and my mouth will praise you. Why? And sometimes, not that I ever want to rewrite the Bible because I think I can do it better than what they did, but I think we should read verse 6 before we read verse 5. When I remember you upon my bed and I meditate on you in the watches of the night, then my soul will be satisfied as with rich food. Why am I satisfied? Because I'm meditating with you, God. Because I'm just sitting with you and I'm chewing deep and diligently on the truth of who you are and on your word. And as I'm doing that, I'm being nourished and I'm being filled and my soul is being satisfied because I'm meditating with you. If reflection is remembering who God is and what he's done, meditation is giving it meaning and allowing it to shape our definitions of who God is, but we're letting him define who he is and letting him define what he wants us to do and be. We're chewing on that word of God. We're letting it shape us. And that's where we talk about the verse I read earlier with Joshua as he's getting ready to go in. And God says, Joshua, if you're going to be successful in leading these people, meditate on my word. Don't turn to the right or to the left. If you're going to find success, keep my word in front of you at all times and think about it at all times. If you will do this, you will have success in everything that you do. Meditating on God's word. Take all that has been written and chew on it and think about it day and night. God bless you. Thomas Watson is a Puritan minister, pastor, years ago, and he had some great thoughts about meditation. One of the things he says is this: the reason we come away so cold from reading the word is that we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. It's deep. Brian Cameron once said, no, I can't take credit, the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word of God is we don't warm ourselves at the fires of meditation. Thinking about different vacations and stuff, I remember some wonderful camp trips that we've had with my family. I can remember different campgrounds and different things that have happened. Family camps, and I've remembered my daughter learning how to ride her bike at one campground. But one of the great memories of camping is the fire, right? The campfire. And sitting around the campfire at night, and you maybe cook your food over that. You tell stories, maybe you sing songs and you do things. S'mores, delicious, delicious s'mores and all the variations of s'mores. The campfire is amazing. And then the campfire, I'm just one of those people that no matter where I sit, no matter where I move, the smoke finds me, right? As much as I remember the s'mores, I can remember the smoke finds me. And then not only that, but there's the wonderful all-day campfire smell you have on your clothes the next morning. Like your whole motorhome or tent smells like campfire. But I remember there have been a couple times where I've either come out of the tent or out of the trailer we were in, and I go over to where we had the campfire, and the coals are in there, and they're still warm. And so you can come and just kind of sit by that. If you made a cup of coffee or hot cocoa or open a can of Diet Coke, whatever your poison is, and you just sit there, and there's still warmth emanating from that fire pit. And if I want, I don't even need any matches or paper. I can just put some wood down on there, and all of a sudden, it ignites again. And that cold, brisk morning camping sitting around a campfire is almost better than the night campfire. And that's what meditation is. Meditation is the idea that there's this campfire that has all these great memories, but I don't just leave it. I come back to it again, like, oh, this is great. And I keep coming back to it, and I keep coming back to it. Meditation is meant for us to satisfy our souls and to feed us. And I would say this, and hear me out, church, all the way. If meditating on God and His Word is the thing that satisfies and feeds our souls, then there are a lot of starving Christians in the world. Starting with me. I'm realizing oftentimes I will read God's Word in the morning and then walk away from it for the rest of the day. And God's like, hey, Brian, wasn't the morning great? Let's do it again in a couple hours. Hey, remember that thought that I gave you? Let's think about that some more. Let's meditate on that. Let's process that more. If we really want to enjoy God, if we really want to grow in our relationship with Him, we will move our reading to throughout the day meditating and letting God's Word have its way in us and grow in us. Meditation is something that should happen every day. But again, as we talk about the Sabbath and resting and rejuvenating ourselves in God, we've got to take time to reflect on who God is and what He's done. And then we've got to take time to not only read His Word, but to meditate on it throughout the day, especially on the Sabbath. That is a day dedicated to God where we put distractions aside. And so here's my encouragement, my challenge for you, church, as we think about this. Where do we go from here? And the band, you guys can start coming up as we get ready to wrap this up. I can't make you do a Sabbath. I'm not telling you have to practice a Sabbath. I will remind you that Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. God made it intentionally because we actually need it. We need to stop. We need that rest. We need to rejuvenate in the Lord. And if we're going to do that, work hard in 6 days, but take a break on the seventh day to rest in God, and let's reflect and meditate on Him. And so how can we simply do that? Maybe you take a notebook like this, or you take your phone with notes, and this is what I encourage you to do. Read your Bible in the morning. I know some of you are like, I read it better at night, Pastor. That's good, but if we're going to meditate on it throughout the day, let's read it in the morning. Read your Bible in the morning, and just write down one thing. I always, when people are like, I don't know what to read or how much to read until God gives you something. Maybe that's a verse, maybe that's a chapter. Maybe if you're reading Numbers, it might be the whole book. I don't know, you might skip that one. But read until it's like, huh, God, what do you want to do with that? It might take you a minute to get there, but then so write that thought down. Put it in your notes or put it in a notebook and do something. And do that every morning. At night, I want you to sit down and take that notebook or those notes out, and I want you to think back through the day. And how did God show up this day? What did God do today that was just simply amazing, that I'm so thankful for? The other day, I had to go down to where our daughter lives. She lives in a condo, and I had to go down and do some work down there. And she lives in a gated community that I don't have a clicker for. So it's kind of a pain. First world problems is when I get there, I have to get out and go to the get out of my car and go to the gate and punch in the code and get back in and drive in. And the way that my Jeep is built, I love my Jeep, but the bumper and everything are just sitting in a way that when you're leaving, the sensor doesn't sense that there's a car there. And so I have to get out of my Jeep and go to the number pad and put the number in to get out. I have to get out to get in. I have to get out to get out. It's just a pain. First world problems, I know. So I go down there to do work, and I arrive, but then I have to leave to go to Home Depot and get something. So then I come back, and then I have to leave to go get something else because that's the way homework goes, housework goes. And then I come back, and then I leave to go home. Five times. Five times that day, somebody else was either entering or leaving the complex that I never had to get out of my Jeep to put the code in. And I was just like, thank you, God. Like, that's amazing. It's the stupidest little thing, but I just needed that stupid little thing today. It is. And sometimes the way God shows up for us is I never had to get out of my code to type a code in to get into the complex. Sometimes it's, man, this friend showed up right when I was ready to break down, and they were just the greatest rock and encouragement to me and just let me weep on them. God shows up in amazing ways every day, but we forget it because we don't reflect on it. Take a notebook out and write down, how did God show up today? And now you have 6 days of what did God teach you in His Word to meditate on, and what did God do reflecting on that, so that when you come to the Sabbath, you bring your notes and your notebook out and you just sit with God and say, God, I'm going to reflect and remember everything You've done this week. You and me, I'm putting the deadlines aside. I'm putting the distractions aside. Maybe I'm sitting with my family, and let's all share the way God showed up this week. I'm sitting with my friends, and in our Sabbath, we're saying, man, you know why God was amazing this week? These are the things that He did. And maybe your kid's like, God did this for me this week. And you're like, that's awesome. And we're meditating on God, and we're remembering God. And that's exactly what the Sabbath is meant for, to rejuvenate us and carry us on for the next days ahead. Amen? Church, I encourage you to take time to reflect and meditate on God, especially in the times of the Sabbath. I pray that that can be just a simple tool that helps you to grow deeper in Him. Let's pray together. God, I thank You. You are an amazing God. And sometimes we forget to remember. We forget to say thank You because there's so many things to do. And help us just to take time to stop and reflect on all that You've done. Like Asaph, instead of letting circumstances and despair define his life and who You are, he went back to who You have always been. Lord, help us to remember to do that and to reflect on Your actions, not just throughout the pages of the Bible, but throughout our lives and the lives of our friends around us. You are a mighty and faithful God. And then, God, help us to warm ourselves and satisfy our souls in the meditation of Your Word as You feed us. Nourish us on that. Help us to just roll it around in our hearts and our minds throughout the day. Lead us and teach us, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.